Somebody's going to go bridge here. It's a matter of time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Gombridge Podcast, episode 123, presented by Guy Boston Sports. My name is Andrew Gardner, joined alongside by Alex Clausen and Steve Brady. Boys, how are we doing today?
Will not lie, have not watched a lot of baseball lately. I've been watching the Masters since Thursday. It's what I've spent about 6 hours of the day doing in between my usual daily activities. But, you know, we're here to talk Sox and not talk about the Masters. So, episode 123. That's an easy one to remember.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I agree, Clausen. This is not going to turn into a Masters podcast. However, I did go golfing yesterday, and I decided to try and just incorporate a baseball swing into my drive off the tee, and it works because now I hit a draw instead of a fade, and I added like 30 yards to my carry, so it was pretty crazy.
So you're just like nuking balls now?
Yeah, dude, I literally just changed it. I aim way right, and I hit a huge draw, and it's crazy. I never thought I'd be able to do it.
Is it like a Happy Gilmore swing? Like, you running up to the ball?
No, it's just a lot of torque, ton of torque.
Torque, dude, it's all in the lower body.
Yeah, ton of torque
on the hips,
on the hips. It's like chipping. Yep. It's all
early hips. Early hips.
If you guys were playing the best round of golf of your life, where do you think you would place at the Masters?
Last.
Dead last.
Yeah.
You had such a ridiculous take about this. There's no way you're finishing anywhere but last.
I think the best rounds of my life, I've played good enough to not shoot like – there's always one guy on day one that shoots like 15 over.
Okay, here's the thing, Clausen. You say that, but once you get onto the first tee box, you're playing at Augusta National in front of thousands of people, you're going to crash.
I'm saying this.
You're
going to
really hard course.
You are going to shank your first drive into some old man's chest on the first tee box because you're going to be so rattled. It's so much easier said than done.
It's a really hard course too, and
I'm not
my
saying,
ceiling is like mid 90s.
I'm not saying
that's
this
my ceiling.
Any?
No,
Clausen,
this
move.
Isn't just any given day. I'm talking about the best round that you're gonna give.
You got to move, Clausen.
I'm still saying like the best round I've ever shot was probably like an 84, 85, which would not
never
even.
Well, that's the difference between you and I. You're just bad at golf.
Yeah, the difference between you and I is I have working Wi-Fi, so
yeah,
that's also cool. I'll also say this, like, I just watching yesterday, I don't know if you guys know the sixth hole, it's like one of the shorter par threes. They had the hole up on like this little island on the green. Guys kept leaving it short, it was lagging back. I was like, these are professionals playing golf and, you know, doing this and not looking good. And kind of to relate that to the Red Sox, That's kind of, you know, professionals playing baseball. They got swept by the Pittsburgh Pirates this week at home. Won on Thursday against Detroit, first road game. And first pitch in about 15 minutes for game two in Detroit. So probably the first two or three innings will kind of have a live update there. But Pirates kind of had our number.
Embarrassing. Just embarrassing.
Last year, Dennis Eckersley had a line, and I know we even named an episode after this line. Forget which number it was, but I think the Red Sox played them in maybe August of last year. Hodgepodge of nothingness. That was what he called the Pittsburgh Pirates. And it was a good quote. I mean, last year, I remember watching the Pirates play the Red Sox, and I was like, who are these guys?
Michael Chavis? That's who.
Chavis was like number three. I mean, we've talked about this like a couple times. I've mentioned this where I saw some picture last year from the outside of PNC Park where they had like banners for their top like 10 players. And Heath Hembray had a banner. I'm like, Heath Hembray is no business having a banner with any MLB team.
Heath Park Crunch.
Clausen? Yep. Nope.
Going to double back on my point from a minute ago. The guy who came in last, 54, through two rounds. That's an 81 and an 83.
You're not shooting that, all right? I hate
best
to
round of my life.
Okay, well, then answer this question, baseball style.
Yeah.
The best at-bat of your life, you think you could take Justin Verlander deep?
Deep, no. I'm not. All right. Well, there's a difference.
There's not.
If you said best at bat of your life, can you put a ball in play on Justin Verlander? Probably.
No.
You're just. Here's the thing, Clausen. I know you're a confident guy. Here's the thing. I know you're a confident guy. That's just how you are. I think it's great. But sometimes you're a little bit too much talk, not a lot of bite. And we saw that last year. We still never even released this video. No. With the throwing contest, you were hyping up how you could throw. I'm going to throw 90s, blah, 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 blah. We get to the field. You topped out at like 55 and then bitched about your shoulder. I don't know what to tell you.
It was my elbow.
No bite. What?
It was my elbow.
Yeah, and that was the only time I've ever heard of you having an elbow problem.
What other time am I ever thrown a baseball?
I don't know, but you would think that that would come up in conversation before.
How am I going to bring up elbow issues when we're not actively when I'm not actively presently having elbow issues?
All I know, Clausen.
I'm going to speak for everybody right now and say that I don't want to listen to this conversation anymore. I don't think you'd even sniff close to last place at Augusta, one of the hardest courses around, especially in these conditions. Dude, you're shooting 115, and that's going to be the end of that. And we're going to talk about the Pirates series now and how
best run of my life.
They destroyed
enough,
us.
Enough. You're not, Steven nailed it. You're not even sniffing it.
All right.
Your golf game is a hodgepodge of nothingness, if we're being honest.
Yeah. I'd kick your ass.
You probably would, which I don't know what that makes mine. Right. But Steve kicked my ass with wooden clubs last year.
Yeah.
Not literally, like on the golf course.
D3.
That was a bad round. Anyways, moving on back to the Pirates. Yeah, so Ek has that line last year, hodgepodge of nothingness. And I can't remember if during our preseason episode I mentioned this or not. And I'm not just saying this now. I was saying I like the Pirates roster, kind of like I like the Diamondbacks. Like, got a lot of young studs, Ke'Bryan Hayes, O'Neill Cruz. And then obviously they bring McCutchen back, Carlos Santana. Like, roster's not terrible. Come into Fenway Park. Red Sox fresh off a series, which they take 2 out of 3 out of the Orioles. Should they have won 2? Probably not. But they got gifted game 2, 100%. And yeah, the Pirates come in, sweep them. Their social media team on, I guess it was Thursday, released a video. I give them credit. They did like an edit with X voice from last year and some highlights from the series. It was clean. And the Pirates just came in and dominated. Besides the first inning of the first game, the Red Sox scored 5 runs, I think. 3 or 5 runs. I think it was 5.
Hit 3 home runs.
Yeah. They scored 2 runs the rest of the series. Pitching was great. They got completely shut down. And they raised the Jolly Roger at Fenway Park. That's all I got to say.
You know, this is a very different tone than the first episode of the series, last episode, I suppose, or of the season, rather. And I think that this might be a little bit more of a clear picture of what this roster is at this current junction. And hopefully after two individuals by the name of Brian Baio and Garrett Whitlock can help salvage this sinking ship. But we'll see. And James Paxton, I guess, but I'm still not convinced he's even a real person that we've signed.
Yeah, I mean, he did. He made an appearance on opening day. They announced him. That was the first time, I think, besides spring training, he's been spotted in a Red Sox uniform. So he's alive and well, but
that's not James Paxton.
It's probably not.
That could be anybody.
I think it's they put like Ben Affleck in some filming for some movie.
Oh yeah,
they should do that. Would you rather Ben Affleck on the mound for the rest of the year or risk James Paxton and his unknown return date? Like you either have one or the other. You have James Paxton currently or Ben Affleck starting tomorrow.
Obviously, James Paxton.
When's he coming back, though?
Probably not soon.
You're just saying put a civilian on the mound, just some guy.
It's Ben Affleck. It's not just some guy.
Oh.
who do you think would be a better pitcher, though? Mark Wahlberg or Ben Affleck?
Or Matt Damon.
Or Matt Damon. Or Matt Damon.
I don't see Matt Damon.
Probably Matt Damon, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, who was the one? I think it was Mark Wahlberg who had like the wild workout schedule where he wakes up at like 2 a.m.
Yeah. Mark's also like a clean 5'5", though.
Dude,
that was I don't think Matt Damon's much taller.
I support everyone short. I'm not up there in height either.
I'm just saying, I'm not either, but I'm just saying that, you know, physics are physics, and it's a lot harder to get velocity behind the ball when you're not as tall.
Who could we come up with a list of in our lifetime, like the top three short Red Sox players?
Dustin Pedroia.
One.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg's allegedly 5'8", and Matt Damon is 5'10". Who's the other guy? Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck was Batman, so he's got to be kind of tall.
Is he married to J-Lo, or did they get divorced?
Ben Affleck is 6'2". I switched my answer. Ben Affleck. He was also Batman, so. And he took A-Rod's girl, and that's going to count for something.
We were talking about – I was talking about this with someone last week about, like, A-Rod, like, on national television, just being in complete shambles after that whole J-Lo thing.
Yeah, that's like Will Smith.
You guys remember that? Like, he'd be on like the post game show. They'd be like, you know, they'd be like analyzing a play. They'd be like, yeah, you know, that was a really cool play, but like, I'm so sad that J-Lo left.
That's how we felt.
He was going through. Like, I don't know. I just remember him being like, I remember him being royally down bad.
Yeah.
I mean,
things can't be up all the time.
You got to go down to go up.
Not.
Yeah, you got to feel the, and this ties back to the Sox. Great segue right here. Sometimes you have to taste defeat to appreciate the sweetness of victory. The Pirates really, really just shoved it up our butt.
They sure did.
Yep.
Well, let's go through our game-by-game rundown. First game, Pirates defeat the Red Sox 7-6. This was on Monday.
Good game.
Definitely
the first
best
inning.
Best
good game. First inning.
What's up?
That's a good first inning.
Good first inning. Three home runs. Devers.
Casas.
Casas.
That's like one of two hits he has on the series, on the year.
Yeah, Casas is struggling a little bit. I saw a tweet and someone was like, when do we start worrying about Casas and send him down? And I think it was Cotillo. He was like, not even relatively close to now.
Yeah.
No.
You don't send him down. And I think like in a month, you somehow bring Bob back up, if that's possible. Or put it like, you just can't. In a month, maybe you don't start Casas every day. And then in another month, maybe in another 2 months, you start considering the idea that he's not ready for MLB play yet. I don't know.
Here's the thing. Here's how I like to look at things, because we do this. Everybody does this. I saw so many articles after the first weekend, like overreacting to the first weekend of MLB play, hot takes from the first three games of the season, blah, 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 blah. It's a small sample size. If Tristan Casas, let me pull up his stats. He's played in seven games.
3-25.
I got 3-23 here.
I was close. That was off the dome.
You're very close. Oh, that was dome? Yeah, you were close. Yeah. You were close. 3-23. If this happened during a week in July or August, we're not talking about it. It's just like, you know, if it's a longer stretch where if this is like a month, 3 weeks, yeah, that's a storyline. If it's a week stretch, we're not coming in here and be like, oh, Costas has been horrible this week. Blah, blah, blah.
It depends what the context is to, you know, how he's played up until that point. Because if he's established himself as like, okay, this is a slump, that's different than being like, okay, this is how he plays normally. I don't know if that's like a great comparison, but I see what you're saying. It is a small sample size. And I agree with you and Cotillo of the Mexican Times. Shouldn't necessarily worry about it too much yet.
I mean, the same could be said for Kike. I mean, he's 3-22.
I don't think Kike's that good. Honestly, like, I don't know if that's a hot take or whatever, but Kike is... he's supposed to be one of the like our guys on this team, and I get that there was that whole conversation during the off season where it's like you don't have to be the guy to be a leader, and that's true. but I feel like Kike is a little touch overrated.
I think that because he's such a great personality and such a leader, people assume that he is a great hitter.
He's also not played super well defensively at short either. If you've been watching, he's botched some throws. Maybe Casas should have picked some of those. Maybe he should have picked some of them, but Kike has made it tough on Casas. So the defense entirely is, and we can get into it later.
Yeah, I definitely want to get it into it, especially for game three.
Yeah, let's go through game one again.
No, sorry, I just quick take on Kike. Like, he was with the Dodgers for, I think, 2014 or 15 up until 2020. So he was there for 6 or 7 years. He was always a platoon man with the Dodgers. I mean, even if he was playing a season where he appeared in 120, 130 games, like, again, I don't have his career stats up right now. I don't know what his career high is in games played, but he was never like that guy with the Dodgers. He was always, you know, he was like our Brock Holt. He was moving around everywhere.
I was going to say, when you were done, glorified Brock Holt. Maybe that's insulting to Brock Holt at this point.
No, and listen, I like Kike a lot. But I do agree with you a little bit that he is a little overrated. And I think, too, I mean, he was so impressive in the 2021 playoffs, the lead up to that. I mean, he had like 20 home runs 2 years ago, but, you know, misses most of the season last year. I agree. I think it's kind of a moot point to talk about now, but I can get behind that a little bit. Anyways, game one, Cutter Crawford on the mound. Hustler music, Clausen. Still the walkout music. That's been confirmed. I was not there.
As it should be.
Confirmed.
As it should be.
One of the best songs.
Who confirmed it for you?
I was looking up something online, and I found something on the Red Sox website where they actually list all the songs. And yep. His was Hustler Music.
Is that updated? Is that up to date?
It was. Kenley Jansen's song is Champions by Enele Chapa.
Kind of a disappointment.
Makes sense though for the city of Austin.
Yep. I would have gone Champions by Kanye, but I don't know how well received that would have gone over.
Yeah, probably not a great look to enter a new city and pitch Kanye.
There is also like 8 people on that song, but that's besides the point. Yeah, Caleb Ort. I'm trying to
think. The Orchard Chamber.
The Orchard, yeah. Are we rolling with that as a nickname?
Well, we didn't make it up. I saw it somewhere in Karabas' replies. I liked it. The Orchard Chamber. I dig it.
He hasn't pitched as poorly. Corey's using him a lot.
Oh, so much. And Brazier, like an egregious amount. Ort and Brazier are on my screen like every other day. Like it's crazy.
Has there been a game where neither of them have pitched yet? Maybe the second game against Baltimore.
I don't know. It's kind of upsetting.
I don't know. But anyway, game one, Cutter Crawford gets the start against the Pirates again with Bayo and Whitlock being out. Cutter Crawford has stepped in the rotation and he dropped an absolute egg on the table. Gave up 3 in the first. Red Sox go back up 5-3, and then he allows runs in the second, third, and 2 in the fourth again. Gets pulled, 7 earned over 4 innings. Obviously, Devers had that misplay there in the first inning, which originally was ruled an error. They overturned it to a hit, which then bumped Cutter's line from like 3 or 4 earned to 7. So, again, defense not great. The offense popped out in that first inning, and the biggest play was the Yoshida home run, which, I mean, he's got great opposite field pop, which, I mean, you know, he likes to hit the ball on the ground. I think I saw something like 20 of his first 23 at bats or something like that have been ground balls. He absolutely torqued the home run to the monster. And then the big story of the week from there, the family who caught the home run ball kept it. Didn't give it back. I mean, I cannot think of a more selfish move than that, like, in any way.
I didn't even catch the ball. A Pirates fan caught the ball and then, out of the kindness of his heart, relinquished it to little Lucas. And they left the ballpark without even getting it authenticated as Yoshida's first home run. Didn't even have a conversation about it. Wasn't even on the radar. And I honestly suspect that they're not even really baseball fans. And I think that they just caught the home run and was like, oh, time to leave the park. Game's over. Blah, 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 whatever. Probably didn't even, it wasn't even a blip on their radar that they could have exchanged it for other merch, maybe get Raffy merch or a signed bat from Yoshida or something like that. All around bad luck and perhaps a curse. Clausen?
So my devil's advocate argument to that is, one, if you're not a baseball fan, the likelihood that you're going to go out and ball out on like first row monster seats.
Yeah, but also counter argument, it could have been gifted from a company that has mm-hmm. those seats, you know.
Yeah.
He's an employee, he brought his family, but kind of thing.
My stronger argument would be those like staff in general are pretty aware of that kind of stuff. So usually, like, anytime you get a ball or something that's like of any sort of value to anybody, usually an usher is right there to be like, hey,
no, you know, they were there. They were bargaining with them, yeah, and they wouldn't give up the ball. It's not like it was from a lack of, well, the Red Sox could have given them more. I don't think there's any reason you should let that family walk out with that ball. Give them $100,000.
No. It's not even close to worth that much. Not even close to worth that much.
All right. Well, the Red Sox.
$100,000?
Dude, that is a drop in the bucket for the Red Sox.
That's an egregious amount for a Masa Yoshida home run. It's crazy.
Maybe it's a little much.
$100,000?
It's a little much. It's a little much.
So much.
I'm just saying you could give them money, give them a signed bat, give them, yeah, signed jersey. Pay, you know, go meet Yoshida. I guess this family was from New Jersey. So if they were Red Sox fans.
Classic.
Yeah, I don't know if they were Red Sox fans or not. But from my understanding, I think, in my opinion, it's the dad who, like, again, he was the one who was probably like, no, we're not giving this ball up. I get, yeah, it was their first game ever. And it was like his son getting the ball. It was like a good keepsake for going to his first game. And it's like, well, I'm sure getting a signed bat, signed jersey, a whole bunch of other stuff would be a whole lot cooler, and getting to give the ball back to Yoshida. I think it's just,
yeah,
it's a sleazy move. It's
you
a sleazy
know,
it's move.
Like, you know, he, like I said, he didn't even catch it. If the kid, you know, took it to the face and, you know, picked it up, whatever, like, there's a little bit of sentimental value in that regard. But another person just handed it to him. What's the difference between that and an usher handing him a signed Yoshida bat or a Raffy merch or whatever they can, you know, squeeze out of the socks on that given day? There's no difference. And you know, it's selfish and it's sad. And it's sad. And it's bad for the game of baseball.
It's a bad
we haven't we haven't analyzed one important variable, and that could be how big of a Zach Hampel stan these people are. Because if you guys remember A-Rod's 3,000th hit, he like put that ball like under like locked safe and like safeguarded it for like absolutely no reason and sat on it for like a month.
Plus, and he wanted to think about what he wanted for it.
And he got the same thing.
Nerd. That guy's such a nerd.
I'll like, say
definition of a nerd. Somebody should give him a swirly.
Sat at night. No, seriously.
I'll say
that guy finds a way to piss him off every day.
I'll say
that kid Thomas on Twitter. Nerds.
You don't even go on Twitter.
Nerds. Give those kids swirlies. Give them a. I want to see Zach Hampel getting a wedgie off the second deck.
If you got, all right, hypothetical situation, you're sitting out in the right field, there's a ball coming out, and you see Zach Hampel's bald head in a Red Sox hat coming at you. What are you doing?
Laying a hip check.
Dude, I'm going for the ball. And if a little bit of body gets in the way, then
so be it. I'll say this. When I was at the ALDS game four, when the Red Sox, when they walked that off, he was sitting in center field wearing an obnoxiously neon yellow or green shirt. And so Devers hits a home run. I think it was the second or third inning, and like goes just over the first, second row of center field fence, whatever. Didn't think anything of it. I'm on Twitter like the next half inning, and I see that Zach Hample is the one who caught it. And I was like, you got to be kidding. How is he consistently getting these? So then three or four innings later, Wander Franco bombs one to center field. Who catches it again? Like, again, you could easily Zach pick Hample. Him out with the shirt on. I just see yellow shirt, neon shirt, Camp under it, grabs it. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. He went 2 for 2.
He is a big nerd and an attention-seeking little weasel. And this episode should be titled, I Hate Zach Hample. And then in parentheses, and that kid Thomas on Twitter.
I will say this. It was a tough week at Fenway for memorabilia. I saw a really tough moment. Like this, not much gets at me, but this killed me. When I was there on Sunday, I was leaving, and this kid runs up to his mom, and he's like, you know, frantically screaming, crying. He's like, I don't know where the ball is. And his mom was like, what? What do you mean? And he was like, it's not in our seat. I don't know where it went. So they're like freaking out. They're like, I don't know where the ball is, this and that. And they're looking up and down the aisle for this ball they must have caught. Like, I'm assuming they caught a foul ball or something. Can't find it. So then one of the usher comes up to them. They're like, is everything okay? And the mom was like, yeah, he was walking back from the bathroom or something, and his autographed Jason Veritek ball must have fallen out of his pocket. I was like, oh, I felt
so bad.
Can't
be carrying that around.
I felt so bad. So bad. This kid was like 8 or 9. That must have
been.
Did
he get it that day, do you think? Why would he bring that to the park?
No, he must have gotten it. No, he must have gotten it that day. But I just felt so bad because it's like, nothing really you can do, especially as like an onlooker. You want to help, but you can't really do anything.
Shit happens, as Forrest Gump once said. Shit happens.
Last thing I got on the Yoshida ball, I think it was Joey from Steve's podcast,
Inside the Monster, bro.
Inside the ITM podcast. I think he was the one who echoed a very similar take to this. I think he said something of this fact on Twitter, which I completely agreed with, where you have Yoshida who comes into Boston, you know, new country, people welcome him with open arms, this and that. You know, he's trying to make a good impression on people. And one of the first interactions he has with fans is hitting, you know, one of his biggest milestone, you know, moments in baseball, and they don't give him the ball back. I feel like it's a tough look. It's a tough look.
Sad. 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 Embarrassing.
Not great.
All words that describe that situation and the Red Sox series against the Pirates. Sad, embarrassing.
Sad for.
Yeah. So anyway, that first game, it was 7-5 through 4. Bullpen, you know, locked things down. They did not give up a run when they came in. Zach Kelly, 2 shutouts. Blyer, Ort, and Brazier. There you go. The Orchard Chamber and Brazier came in for scoreless innings as well.
Can we get a duo nickname for those two?
We should.
We'll sit on it.
Ort, Brazier.
Try and think of what their dynamic, like their WWE, like.
Is there some sort of
name?
I feel like, so we have the Orchard Chamber. When I think of Orchard, I think you just attach Orchard. So could we come up with like an Apple Orchard name where Brazier's name is like somehow the first, you know, first name in the Orchard?
I feel like we got to sit on this. We really got to put our heads together and think, because we could hit an open market right now. We could. So an untapped market. With the duo of Ryan Brazier and Caleb Ort.
I'm thinking of like a shirt with a two-headed monster, and it's just one head is Brazier, one head is Ort, and then under it, it's something Orchard or something like that.
We're going to think about it.
Okay. We'll figure that out.
Anyways. Walked things down. Game one.
Yeah, not great.
Still lost by one.
Yeah, it was a close one. I definitely disappointed in that, but I feel like with Cutter Crawford on the mound, with that, being the first game of the series, you kind of get over it. You're like, all right, they should be able to bounce back. They lost the first game against the Orioles. Hopefully they're able to rebound on Tuesday and win with Pivetta on the mound.
Yeah. You think to yourself, this couldn't possibly happen twice.
Steve.
Yeah.
It happened twice.
What happened?
The Red Sox lost to the Pirates twice.
Damn. Was it bad?
A loss is never good, but it could have been worse, I guess. Could have been worse. 4-1 loss. Offense just went cold. I mean, they had been so hot those first four games. I think you were expecting for them to kind of cool down at some point. Yu Chang gets his first start of the year. But again, 4-1 loss. Pivetta didn't pitch horrible, I guess. I mean, he went 5 innings, 3 runs, just one of those earned. But again, this just seems like a game they should have won.
A better team may have been able to persevere and pull through some kind of a rally. I know that they're, if my memory, is correct, we have been leaving runners in scoring position a fair amount in that series. Not great stuff. I remember Kike had an at bat. I don't know what game it was. Bases loaded, 2 outs. Just whiffed everybody. We were putting runners on, and I think that's a good sign that maybe, we won't necessarily be a terrible offense, but.
Yeah, I mean, in this one, the Red Sox went 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position. They only were able to get 4 hits when Kowski came out of the bullpen. He's looked good so far. 3 innings, just gave up 1 run, and he pitched, I believe, on opening day. He's appeared in 2 or 3 games so far this year. He's looked solid. Again, he's another guy I think could get some looks in the starting rotation at some point. But yeah, another so you lose the series, and now you're rebounding on Wednesday. Need a win. And you got the opening day starter on the mound, Corey Kluber.
Need it. Need the win.
I think coming into that game, my feeling was there's no way the Red Sox lose this one.
How could they?
I just feel like going against the Pirates, the feeling, despite I was at the game on Wednesday, it was besides the 2020 and 2021 season, where obviously there was no one there in 2020, and then the first two or so months of 2021, limited seating at Fenway. It was the smallest crowd at Fenway. I forget what month it was, but I know since 2000, I believe it was May of 2000. So in our lifetime, Steve, you were a couple months old, but the smallest crowd ever at Fenway, basically in the 2000s.
Yeah. Why again, go see a team that stinks?
Well, Wednesday afternoon, it's cold. You're playing the Pirates. I mean, a lot of factors kind of stacked up to that one not being a high drawer, but yeah, it was really empty, low energy at the stadium. And the Pirates again just kind of chipped away. Like, I thought Kluber pitched pretty well. He was getting weak contact. Not like, he's not a big strikeout pitcher anymore, but if he can just locate his pitches, he's able to generate weak contact.
He came in clutch that one inning. It was early on. It might have been even the first or second inning where, he loaded the bases. Mm-hmm. And it was 1 out, and he got 2 pretty much pop flies.
Yep.
And got out of the inning. And then from there, he kind of cruised. And, he let up a bomb. Pitchers on the Red Sox seem to enjoy doing that. But overall, I think he pitched well. Klaassen, love for you to jump back in and give us your thoughts on Corey Kluber.
He's Corey Kluber, man. I mean, he was better than the first one, but it's I think we've seen what we're gonna get from Corey Kluber. It's just 88 miles an hour, and it might get taken yard, and it might not. And really, there's a little way to tell every time he releases the ball.
Yeah, I mean, he pitched well. I was a little surprised that Cora took him out after the fifth inning. I'm trying to pull up.
Third time through the order. Corey Kluber's kind of old.
Yeah, I mean, I know Brian Reynolds was due up that inning. Reynolds absolutely wrecked the Red Sox in the series.
Oh, my God. That destroyed us.
And I saw he hit another three-run home run yesterday in the Pirates opener or home opener. And, yeah, I mean.
What do they say in Pittsburgh when they hit home runs? They're like, clear the deck.
Oh, yeah. Clear the deck, cannonball coming, something like that. There was a shirt. I think it was 2 years ago. I remember we talked about it. And that was like one of the cleaner MLB shirts I've ever seen.
I do recall.
Speaking of shirts, I don't know if this was originally on the 2023 promo schedule, but next Sunday against the Angels, it's the 2013 World Series reunion. And they're dropping a fire 90s graphic tee style shirt with all the 2013 guys.
And we got an insider person.
We do?
Yeah.
Doing what?
Handing out the merch.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, we do.
Chat up.
Yeah, between that one.
Right.
Between that one. Wow.
Thank you, Clausen.
Clausen, you're like jumping in, but you're like 5 seconds late because of the lag.
Yeah, it's a low episode for me. I don't want to mess too much up.
Clausen will be here when we need him.
You look like a Retro Bowl character right now. You're very pixelated.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're like on 140p right now. It's crazy.
Anyways, yeah, and then I think it's the beginning of May. They're giving out that Pedro shirt.
That's also fire.
That one I like somehow need to get, even if I don't go to the game.
Yeah. They should just make it available like online.
I wish. Oh, Clausen's gone.
He's okay.
He'll be back. Yeah, I was gonna say I would pay money.
I'd pay top dollar.
I would.
For that Pedro shirt.
Not that I have really any control of this because I was very young at the time, but I feel like one of my biggest regrets is just never being able to see Pedro pitch.
Yeah, I mean, we were but children, so it was difficult to get ourselves to Fenway Park for Pedro Martinez start.
What was the first
that's on us at the end of the day. That's on us.
I mean, I should have grabbed the car. Well, when was first time you went to Fenway? What year was that?
I don't know, like probably like 04 or 05, maybe. I don't know.
You were there in 04? Maybe you're the reason, Steve, the curse was reversed.
I was probably kicking around here and there. Yeah. I've been going to games for a while, just as a little kid.
Well, what's the first game you remember going to?
I don't know. It was the year I was sitting behind the away dugout, and Manny was on the White Sox, I think, at the time. And I got like a bunch of balls that day from White Sox players throwing them to me because I was like the only little kid around. I think it must have been like a weekday, like 1 o'clock game. So it was the like super big crowd, but it was pretty chill. I don't know. What year was Manny on the White Sox?
I guess that was 2011.
Yeah.
Because I think
I didn't become sentient until late. You know those memes where it's like me at 5 years old, like gaining consciousness.
Yeah.
That didn't happen till late. So I don't remember a whole lot prior to that.
Let's see. Manny played for the White Sox in 2010.
Yep.
And then 2011. Sounds about right. He was with Tampa Bay. That was weird. They had Johnny Damon and Manny Ramirez with the Rays.
5 years ago? 10 years ago? Imagine.
Yeah, 2011. Johnny Damon. Johnny, weird that Damon finished his career Detroit.
I mean, like, imagine if they 10 years before.
Wait, what? Sorry, you kind of cut out.
I was just saying, imagine if they had Damon and Manny like 10 years before that.
Oh, they'd be good. They'd be good. The Rays are still the only undefeated team in the MLB. 7-0. I don't think
all seven of those games have been won by 4+ runs.
They've been killing the competition. Randy's hot again. The starting pitching is so good. The thing that annoys me so much, why is Jeffrey Springs so good now?
Jeff Springs, he isn't dirty.
I saw he was. I saw he was in like the Cy Young running at the moment. Like one of those like dark horse, this guy might have a chance. And I read the article and I closed my computer. I was like, I can't read this anymore.
I saw someone.
The MLB has become completely unrecognizable to me.
There's someone who works for John Boy picked him, I think, or saw like they did like some ranking of like their top five Cy Young picks or something. And he was on the list. Like the amount of times we slandered that guy, because we started the show, what was it? Early November 2020. So the 2020 season had wrapped up for a little bit, or maybe it was October. I can't remember, but the Red Sox were done playing. And the amount of times talking about like what the team will look like for 2021, who will be back, the amount of Jeff Springs slander to be had on this show couldn't be calculated. I'll tell you that. And he's turned it around. In fact, I think there's a quote somewhere where it was Steve. I think either you or I said this, or it's like, if I wake up and I see that Jeff Springs is starting, my day is just ruined.
Yeah, that sounds about right, honestly.
Like, it was like him and how did we get through that season? Like, where did those guys come from? Like, Mike Kickham? What the hell was that?
No, dude, I completely just removed Kickham from my
brain.
Who
was the other guy who said that? Oh, Matt Hall. Who were these guys?
Hall Pass.
Who were these guys? We're two seasons removed from the best team in Red Sox history. And who was the guy who started like, oh, Zach Godley. Zach Godley was like our number one starter.
I don't remember that at all. At all.
Godfather. Kevin Pillar.
I remember Kevin Pillar.
Peraza. My God. What a bad team. I can't even imagine if that was.
Pillar was good that year.
He wasn't terrible. I still feel like that was a fever dream.
I just removed it from my memory completely. There's no point in that season occupying space in my brain.
No, I'm the same way. When I think of the Red Sox, I honestly am just like 2019 to 2021. There was no 2020 season in my head.
Forgettable.
Who was, and remember at the end of 2021 when, or it was like August or early September when the Red Sox went to, I can't remember where they went to. It was like Philly or Tampa, maybe St. Louis, like something like that. And the whole team came back with COVID and they had to call up like a bunch of nobodies, like Taylor Motter. I think Jack Lopez was up, like a bunch of odd guys for the week. Like that was where Iglesias got called up first. And then he just stuck around and was, you know, basically brought the Red Sox to the playoffs that year.
With no exaggeration, I completely removed the 2020 season from my brain. I have zero recollection of that season at all.
I think the only thing I remember from that year is the opening day game against the Orioles where they won like 9-1. And I was like, all right, 60 game season. Let's figure it out. And they proceeded to win like 24 games.
The few things I remember about that season are the fake crowd that they put in the outfield when you could like buy a cardboard cutout of yourself and put that in the stands. I remember if those things got hit, you won like a grand.
Really?
Oh, really?
I think that was the deal. You had to pay a bunch of money for it, but you made a bunch back if it got nailed.
They mail you the ball.
That'd be cool. You remember?
I think they just like mail. I don't know how it works.
Remember when that crazy guy broke into Fenway and he was yelling at Chavis and he's like, 23, you're not Jordan.
That was awesome.
That man was the only guy to see live baseball all year.
That is the only thing I remember from that season, actually. You ain't Jordan.
He was up in like the camera booth too, right?
Yeah, he scaled the side of Fenway Park to get in.
Dude, imagine how horrifying that would be being one of the cameramen back there and you just turn and some random guys behind you yelling at Chavis. Of all people, Michael Chavis.
Yeah. Probably deserved it.
You're not Jordan. He's not Jordan. I was on the tee. I think it was the Sunday game going back to school. First of all, the tee service on the weekends. MBTA just.
Don't tell me it's bad. Say it ain't so.
It's not good, Steve.
Say it ain't so.
How long is the government center parking garage demolition going to take? That's my big question.
Forever. It's just one of those things where it's got to be like a front for something else going on, like below ground at that place. It's like
when I first interviewed, it was almost 2 years ago now for like my job in Boston. I remember walking from North Station, like to where the office was, and I walked past this construction site, which I didn't know what it was at the time, right next to Haymarket, and it is the exact same now.
Yeah.
Exact same. Anyways, I'm on the green line. I will say, props to the MBTA. The new green line trains, way faster, way faster. I got from North Station to Kenmore in like 13 minutes.
Yeah.
I was impressed. Anyway,
the new tees are good comparatively.
That's you're muted. Clausen, you're muted.
What a mess.
I thought he was talking to his mom or something.
You talking to us, Clausen?
What?
I was.
You were or weren't?
I was. It's a text. So we're just getting everything together.
What
are you talking about right now?
See, were you
asking about it?
Okay. See, Clausen, you got any opinions on the new Green Line trains?
Awful. Haven't been on them. Can't imagine
what?
They're good.
They're great. They're great. A lot better. Anyways, I
was thinking about this the other day.
Yep.
I tweeted this out.
Also, hold on, real quick for the two of you.
I tweeted this out, Adam Duvall for mayor. Awesome.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Whoever keeps tweeting Duvall with one L, there's two L's. It's definitely
I'm telling you right now, I haven't touched our Twitter in
okay, Clausen, Duvall has two L's in it.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, I thought it was one. My bad.
Well, the amount, I saw like five tweets go up. It was like, Duvall, one L. Duvall, one L. I was like, whoever this needs to be fixed.
What are we doing here?
All me.
Bush League. Sorry, carry on.
Well, Adam Duvall with one L for mayor of Boston. I said that a couple days ago. And I was like, you know what? If it's between him and Mayor Wu, I mean, not that I live in Boston, but her big thing was to fix the T. And I don't think anyone can fix the T. So I really don't see much of a difference between what we got and what we could have with Adam Duvall as mayor of Boston.
Adam Duvall, phenomenal. Real quick, before we finish up this Pirates recap, what I was going to say, why I brought up the tea was tying this back to the whole Chavis thing. There was somebody like standing a couple, just like a little bit over from me, and he was like, yeah, Pirates coming into town this week. I might go to one of the games, but I'm really disappointed. My favorite player is not on the team anymore. And I was trying to think like, who could that possibly be? And then he's like, yeah, Michael Chavis, my favorite player, not on the Pirates anymore. So disappointed. It's like, I forgot about him.
Favorite player.
Favorite player? The Ice Horse.
Michael Chavis is your favorite player's favorite player.
Hey, guys, the Red Sox are winning.
No way.
They must have the bases loaded because Connor Wong walked. And Yoshida scored. It is 1-0. Bases loaded. Ref Snyder is up.
Yeah. Who's pitching for the Pirates or for the Tigers, rather?
Wentz.
Is he a righty or a lefty?
He is a lefty.
But good. That's why Ref Snyder's playing, because his splits last year was like 340 against lefties with 1,000 OPS. So I think Ref Snyder is going to pull through for us right now.
Let me tell you the lineup for today. You got Ref Snyder leading off, Devers, Turner, Yoshida, Duvall, Verdugo, Arroyo, Kike Wong. It's not bad. Costas.
All right. Don't hate it. Get the kid off.
2-2 count. Bases loaded. Rob Ref center at the plate. Red Sox leading 1-0.
How many outs? Two outs?
Two outs. Beautiful day in Detroit. Actually, very full stadium.
I don't think anybody's ever said that before.
Wentz looks in. The pitch. Oh, barely missed. Right off the outside part of the plate. 3-2 count.
Are you looking at the game day thing on
MLB? I got the game on.
No, you're watching it for real.
Oof. Yeah. All right.
Damn, dude. Your bandwidth must be going crazy right now.
I can't even imagine. All right. 3-2 count. Wentz to set. The pitch. Ref Snyder rips one. Just foul. You got any predictions here? We got about 10 seconds. Double. Predictions. I'm going to say he walks. Clausen?
Double.
Clausen will get us the prediction by the next inning.
Foul.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Oh, he stepped out. Anyways, so finish up.
Batter timeout. Talk about the pace of play problem.
To finish up, thoughts on the Pirates series. Yeah, so they lose the last game.
It was bad. There's nothing else to say about it.
Sloppy defense. Why was Casas going to third on that play where there was a guy on second? He walked him. Verdugo scores. Rafael Devers coming out of the base loaded. Yeah, it was sloppy defense.
Did you walk Rafi here?
That was like when they walked Barry Bonds in the World Series. I think it was the World Series. With the bases loaded to face the next guy when they were up two, and they got the next guy out.
Didn't the Angels last year intentionally walk somebody where there was like no business intentionally walking him to like put in a run, and then they lost the game because of it. And in the post game interview, the manager was like, "I'd do it again."
Oh yeah, it was again. Corey Seager, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
All right, so they're taking the pitcher out after 1 2/3, even though he was a lefty and Devers is a lefty. So interesting move.
Hey.
So to wrap up,
Rafi used to have opposite splits.
True, that's true. So to wrap up the series against the Pirates, Red Sox able to claw it back to 4-1, and then runners on, I think, first and second. Reese McGuire tattoos a ball down the line, and it went foul. Barely went foul. From where I was sitting, I thought it was a home run. They called it foul.
No, it went foul that line.
You thought so? I thought it looked pretty close.
It was foul by a lot.
Here's my question. How is there not like technology yet, like goal line technology, where it's like foul ball technology with the pole?
Like they just extend it virtually upwards?
Yeah, it's like with tennis, they have the thing where you can like see exactly where the ball lands if the serve's in or out. How do they not have that yet for baseball? It's like fair or foul.
I don't know. We're into the game.
True. So yeah, the Red Sox lose that one too. Just weren't able to get any offense going. Coming to Detroit yesterday, they were down again, and then Adam Duvall saved the day. Chris Sale, he was sloppy at first, kind of turned things around. Here's my take on Sale so far. He looked so bad in the first start that really the only way to go was up. But I think that if he can just find his control, he's going to be okay. That's the big thing. It's the walks.
He throws so slow.
The thing that I see with Sale is like he starts getting shelled, and then he just gets really frustrated and angry and continues to lose even more of his control.
Yeah.
Did you guys see him spike the rosin bag?
Yeah.
After that home run, he was not pretty bad. He tops out at like 92 unless he's really pissed off, and then I think he can get up to 94 with little to no control. He just looks like he's kind of washed up. Looks like he should retire. Honestly,
he's only 34.
Well, I mean, sometimes you're limited by your body, and it fails you. It gives up on you, you know? We've seen early retirements from other players and other sports, and at the end of the day, maybe he should Andrew Luck himself right out of the league because he stinks.
Come on. Are you seriously saying that? He almost turned in a quality start.
Yeah, did he?
Almost. He was. If he pitched one more inning.
Oh yeah. Who knows what would happen if he pitched one more inning?
All
he
right,
could have
Steve.
Got lit up. He just can't throw.
You realize he turned
Corey
in
Kluber.
One of the better performances of any starter this year. I know that's not saying much, but.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, him and Corey Kluber are in the same boat where, like, neither of them can throw nearly as well as they used to.
Oh, Devers. Devers to the wall. Grand slam. Grand slam, Rafael Devers. There you go. Grand slam. Devers, oppo shot just over the wall, third of the year. It's 6-0 Red Sox.
Let's go. Let's go.
Thoughts on that, Steve?
Good.
I can't believe they brought in a righty who just served up a meatball to him. That's pretty sweet.
They took out their pitcher.
Oh,
the top two.
Rafi just went and scooped that. He is so strong. He's a great player.
Fuck, that boy's strong.
Xander's been, he's gotten off to a great start.
He's been good.
Padres.
He's been good.
He's been good.
Yeah. It would have been really cool to have him on the team this year.
It would have been. Would have been. So, by the looks of it, Sox still need to get 24 more outs, but Red Sox are on their way to being 4-4 through the first 8 games. Reactions so far. And who's pitching again today? Is it? I think Hauk is on the mound.
Yeah. So my reactions to the season as we, you know, get towards the end of this episode, we should have beat the Pirates at least once. Like, come on. We didn't deserve one of those wins against the Orioles, and it's honestly embarrassing if we don't beat the Detroit Tigers, because they stink too. And the season doesn't really start until we start playing actually like real life MLB teams, and we'll see how well we fare, and it'll determine whether or not we're a real life MLB team too.
4-4 seems about par for the course. I have them at 82 wins, so just hanging on at about 500 seems about right for this team.
You got to start stacking wins because next week you've got a 4-game series against Tampa Bay and then another 4-game series against the Angels wrapping on into Patriot Day. So it's going to be a fun week next week. But again, you're playing some better teams. You're not playing, you know, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Detroit. So we shall see. But overall, I'm partially satisfied for where we're at. I think the starting pitching is they're gonna be okay. They've turned in almost 4 good outings in a row now. If Hauk can have a good outing today. So we will see. Clausen, you have a Yahtzee of the week for us?
I think I'm gonna have to. The Reese McGuire almost cock shot that he had the other day would have been Yahtzee of the week. But I'm going to have to give it to Rafi Devers because, well, actually, I'll just do the Rafi Devers Grand Slam we just witnessed live as the Yahtzee of the week. They kind of just like changing the recipient of the winner when the envelope comes on stage. But I was going to give it to him a couple days ago because he just passed Pedroia for most homers in Sox history. He's like 15th now.
Damn.
Good take.
He's gonna pass Xander like 15 homers too.
This was like a Steve Harvey Miss World competition. You're like, the winner is, who was it, Miss Brazil or something? And then Clausen just changed it last minute.
I vaguely know what you're talking about.
Not
pretty
great.
Bad.
Great. All right. Do we have an Alex Cora impact player of the week?
I feel like it's got to be Rafael Devers yet again. He had a good first game against Detroit where he hit a home run and a double. And obviously Duvall had that 3-run shot, but I'll pick Duvall last week, and voter fatigue is a real thing for guys like us. So I'm going to give Rafi a 0.83 for being just Rafael Devers. And I think he is going to continue to be Rafael Devers, and I'm proud of him. And I want him to know that. I hope somebody somehow gets that back to Rafi, that I'm proud of him.
You think a Red Sox player, like an active player, has ever listened to our show?
Matt Hall?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I bet one of them checked it out one time.
I hope not.
Maybe.
Shout out. Clawson, you got an Alex play? ASCOPA, something like that?
Gonna say baseball nerds and Zach Hample stands get a zero this week.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just because.
Fair enough.
Toilets of Boston, beware. You might have a head in you one day.
I'm going to give my Alex Cora Impact Player of the Week. I'm going to give it to the Sausage King. I feel like that's deserving. I don't know if we've given it to him yet. It was cold this past
week. You want to go see him?
I did. And here's the thing. I don't know if that man owns a pair of pants. He's always in shorts. And it was cold this last week. I wore a jacket to Fenway every time I went. He's out there. He's hollering. He wants you to buy his sausages. He's got, you know, complimentary condiments, napkins. You can't go wrong. And the Sausage King, it's like when all else fails in the world and you have nobody to turn to, you know the Sausage King is still there for you, and he's still going to give you your $8 sausage.
In a word, reliable.
You know,
yep.
Sausage King would be a really good nickname for Reese McGuire.
Who's the real Sausage King?
True. Yeah.
It's the Sausage King.
Joke's on you. I was actually talking about Reese McGuire. No, I'm kidding. I'm talking about the actual goated Sausage King on Jersey Street, who for me, he gets a 0.95. Like, he's just so reliable.
It's the job done. It's he the does. Job done.
He's done.
He it's does. Probably hot cooking those sausages. So that's probably why.
That is so hot back there.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes he's got his guy behind the grill. He's the one, you know.
God wouldn't let the Sausage King get cold.
Never. He never God would.
Let that happen.
He never would. He's also got what does he call it when you get sausage and peppers? Like the ultimate, something like that. Like, let me get an ultimate. I got an ultimate for this gentleman in front here.
Let me get some extra yeah. sausage. God, I love that guy. Fantastic. Key to the city.
Yeah.
Why hasn't he gotten it yet?
I'm not sure.
Can as Maya Wu answer to that?
No. Yeah.
Forget about the tea.
No response to that yet. When does Sausage
King get the If you put that place? Guy on the tea, it'd get fixed in 2 days.
I don't know if it would get fixed, but the crew would be fed. And what's more important?
True. Priorities.
God, I love them.
We got some questions.
That was a good pick, Gardner.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
That was a good pick.
We got some questions though.
From who? Max.
Matt. First question comes in from Matt. He says, this one's directed to Alex Clawson. He says, if I need to get groceries,
he didn't. Is this really a question?
No, it wasn't. If Matt needs to get groceries, but he doesn't want to leave his home, he's too busy writing questions for us, brainstorming, being really such an integral part of this show, and probably putting more time and effort in than we do. What would you suggest to him?
I would suggest to Matt that he go and order his food through Instacart. And if he doesn't know, Instacart is an online grocery delivery app that allows you to handpick a variety of fresh foods and products, forget that ingredient, and you make your famous dish while you're watching the Sox, or you're thinking about some questions to ask, and your name just happens to be Matt for the Questions with Matt segment, order through Instacart. Delivery straight to your door in as fast as an hour. Shop multiple stores, see deals in your area that'll help you save money, and every item is hand-selected at the store to fit your most specific needs. They're always handled with care. I don't know what the offer is this week, but it's going to be really warm next week, which means now would be a great time to spark an early summer celebration, and you should do it through Instacart. Never step foot in a grocery store again.
Woo! The actual first question that comes in from Matt. He says, if you could play one song on the piano absolutely perfectly, what would it be?
Hot Cross Buns.
Could you even do that on the recorder?
Yeah. Nice. It was like three notes.
All I'm saying is I just want to make sure.
Probably Bohemian Rhapsody. That way I could recreate like the Live Aid performance like whenever I wanted.
I feel like still, what's it called? Oh, I'm spacing on the name of this song. Hold on.
Still Dre.
Still Dre. Yep. That's what I was trying to get to. Where I feel like just the piano part of that gets the people going.
Guess who's back? It's Gardner.
That's that's not. I don't know. I'm kind of out of touch in my early 2000s rap. That's an Eminem song. I'm trying to think. I can't think of the name of it though.
No, that's a different.
Guess who's back? Guess who's back?
You're thinking of like the Real Slim Shady.
Oh, what is that song called?
Human Right.
I know it's on the Eminem Show album.
Can I just say it?
Oh, Without Me? No, this looks like
Yeah, now it is, yeah. That's not
Isn't that how talking. It goes? It's like...
Yeah. Why do you need to play it on
There's the piano? There's no piano in that song.
I know, that wasn't my pick.
Okay, so we already picked Without Me. Bad pick, honestly.
No, my pick... Hold on.
Her song with no piano, weird pick.
It's still Dre, right? Is that? Yeah.
We just talked about this a minute ago.
Yeah, that's my pick.
You're out to lunch right now, dude.
I need some food. Put something in my Dunkin' this morning. All right, next question comes in from Matt. He said, what's the best team you've ever seen that didn't win anything?
The Warriors. 73-9 Warriors.
It's a good pick. Probably go with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Probably anyone.
What?
Probably anyone who lost a tournament to Tiger Woods between the years of 1999 and like 2007.
It's not a team.
Dude, I saw some.
If you put them all together, they could be a collection of people, which makes a team.
True. Liv has teams.
Brooks is about to win the Masters, so shout out to Liv.
Masters today.
He has a major and a lot of money.
I saw some stat that between like 2000 and 2015, Tiger Woods in all majors was a combined like minus 126, and the next closest guy was 125 over. That's good.
Too bad Tiger Woods is playing bad.
Pretty good. He made the cut at least. Better than McIlroy and DeChambeau can say.
Oh, dude. Can't believe Rory did not make the cut. That's Johnny's fault. That's Johnny's fault because he mushed him by betting on him. Yeah.
I had a four-leg bet. It was like Koepka, Spieth, Cameron Young, and McIlroy all to make the cut. And, of course, Rory blew that one. So, but I do have Rom winning, so there is hope. There's hope. Last question that comes in from Matt. He said, what's a picture on your phone that you would get framed?
Picture of me and my dog, like any of them. There's a bunch of them. Just me and the boy hanging out.
Fluffy boy.
You can answer the question, Clausen?
There's a picture of me and Gardy in the aftermath of... There's a picture of me and Gardy in the aftermath of the button trick about a week ago. That's a pretty, pretty funny picture. I'd get that framed.
What are we wearing in it?
This was last week. Actually, I would get, where is it? It's this picture of a Big Bird in a astronaut costume.
Your background's blurred. I can't see.
It's a good one. That's a good one.
Clausen, you know what my pick is? I'm only picking this just because I know you like this. I'd get the picture of the raccoon on the bench press.
Yeah.
That's another good
classic
one.
Picture.
Very funny.
Did you guys hear that raccoon dogs cause?
I found that on Twitter.
Did you? It's hilarious.
What?
Raccoon dogs, Steve?
Yeah, did you guys hear that?
No, I didn't know that was a thing.
Should look into it, yeah.
All right, maybe I will. Picture I'd get framed. I don't know. Maybe
you already answered.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you said the raccoon on the bench?
Oh, my gosh, you're right. Where is my head at? Where is my head at? Anyways, closing out the ninth. What do we got?
A lot of season left, despite some of the negative things I said today, which I will stand behind no matter what, especially the Chris Sale thing. There's a lot of season left, and I hope I'm proven wrong. And as Edelman, Julian Edelman, once said, you can prove him right or you can prove him wrong. And that's the decision the Red Sox are faced with today and every day for the next several months.
Adam Duvall just hit another home run. It's 8-0.
So good. So good.
Jesus. I'm pulling for the Stetson Bennett kid, whatever his name is, the amateur in the Masters.
Yeah, the guy who played football at Georgia.
Get Klaassen. Yeah, the video. Of... what?
I said, get Klaassen off the screen.
Yeah, this is pretty bad.
You're just laggy.
Yeah.
Give us your closing thought. You want him to win?
That is my closing thought. Is what's his first name?
Stenson?
I think it's Sam Bennett, is it not?
Sam Bennett? All right. I want him to win. Won't get paid. Doesn't really get anything for winning, but that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool. My closing out the ninth thought. Oh, I just had one. Oh, I remember, Steve. So last night I was reminiscing and listened to a part of our appearance on Section 10. I was listening back to that. And I have to ask, how's Gavriel?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Really?
Yeah, I have no
prom
idea.
Prom date? You don't know what she's up to?
No, I don't know where she is. Don't know if she's in the state of Massachusetts. Don't know what she does. I haven't seen or spoke to her probably since senior year. Yeah, I have no idea. So I hope she's good.
Crushing. That makes me sad.
Does it?
Nope.
Shout out to Gabby.
Shout out.
G-A-V-Y.
With a V, no B.
Nope.
Anyways. Yeah, I think the Sox are going to be okay. I'm sticking with it. Pitching will be fine. We'll figure it out. You see today, the offense is a wagon. The offense is a wagon. Sox are on their way to being 4-4. How? 2 shutout innings so far. Sox are up 8-0, top 3. If you enjoyed what you listened to, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Gombridge Podcast and Twitter at Gombridge. Don't forget to subscribe to our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. We'll be back next week with episode 124. See ya!